Let us pray. Father, as we dwell upon your word, help us to turn aside from the busy world with its clamor and destruction. Quieten our hearts, Lord, in your presence, that we may be still and know that you are God. May the meditation of our hearts and the words from our lips be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, we pray. Amen. Search me, O God, and know my heart. We started with a theme song, Search Me, O God, and Know My Heart today. It's a Maori song, very gentle and quiet, not like the haka, which was to frighten the opponent. See, one of the key thoughts in all the Old Testament is the idea of knowing God. God said through Jeremiah, let me read Jeremiah 9:23-24. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Not let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and know me, that I am God, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For these things I desire, saith the Lord. God says one thing that we can take pride in is the fact that we know him. Jesus said, indeed, and this is life eternal, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. John 17:3. So eternal life is based on whether or not whether we come to know God. There are many other passages that convey the same thought. But let me suggest that it is possible for a person to know a great deal about God without ever knowing God. And let us not confuse the two. We can come through a list of qualities about God. We say he's eternal, he's holy, he's all-loving, all-wise, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. And we somehow come to the conclusion, if we understand all these qualities of a God, then we know God. But that's knowing about God. It doesn't really apply to whether you know him. In order to know God, we must be willing to commit our lives to follow his will. Well, John wrote in 17:3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, and keep not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So even doing what God commands is no guarantee that we all know him. You see, to the people of Israel long ago, God said through Hosea, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. You see, the people of Israel were going through all the right motions, going to the synagogue, doing everything, but they didn't really know God. When it comes to know God, we have no right to demand that God the Almighty, who brought this world into existence by speaking the word, we have no right to demand that God open himself to us, to demand that God be close and be intimate with us. And yet that's exactly what he has chosen to do. For God said through Amaya, let him who glorifies in this, that he understands and know me. It's a tremendous privilege to have the opportunity to know God. So let's not confuse about knowing about God and not knowing him. To know God is not to have an intellectual knowledge about God. It's to have an intimate, personal relationship with God, which is the most important relationship in the life of a Christian. Many Christians spend years listening to sermons, hope not, this one, reading scriptures, teaching Bible class, but they fail to have a close relationship with God. And if we are not careful, we will end up like the Israelites in Hosea's time, who went through all the right motions, but they never really know God. Let us turn to Psalm 139 and see that God really knows us. Even before we know God, even before we make an effort to know God, God knows us inside out. That's a thought that can be frightening, but it's comforting. God knows us. I want you to think for a moment what it would be like for somebody to know everything about you. Not unusual for someone to complain, no, nobody really knows me, nobody understands me. It's the shallowness of the relationship when they say that. When someone asks, how are you doing? We say, fine. Inside, we're thinking, I'm not well, actually. I'm really tired. I just couldn't sleep last night. Or you might say, I was about to shoot my husband. I can't take any more. And you smile. We like to see, have someone understand us, but are we sure about that? Can you imagine having someone who really knows you? Someone to have access to your thoughts, your actions, your mistakes in life? I do not know, but when it comes to Psalm 139, that's exactly the picture of God. God knows more than we care to know. He sees every nook and corner in my life, in your life. We are subject to scrutiny from God. You know, there was a song many years ago which says, from a distance, God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us. From a distance. I wish I could remember singing that song again. It was such a beautiful song. See, God is really knowing us. In Psalm 139, David says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You know my down sitting, my uprising. You understand my thoughts afar. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and acquainted with all my ways, comprehend my ways, my lying down. For there is not a word on my tongue. Behold, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Such a knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. In this passage, as much as we say we like to be known, sometimes it can be a bit frightening, isn't it? But here is the God who sees everything there is to know about us. For David used these descriptive words to talk about how God knows us. It's not just that God knows everything. We sometimes say God is omniscient, but by that we mean that God knows everything that is to know. God says to Job, do you know the foundations of the earth were laid? And do you know how the sun sits in the sky? Do you know how this happens? And Job says, no, I don't know. And the implication is that God knows all there is to know. He knows everything. And that's not just David's point. His point is that God knows all the mysteries of history and the riddles of the universe. David's point is that God knows us as well. He knows everything about us. And in a desire to know God, we need to remember that He knows us before we even know Him. And David uses 6 terms to describe how God knows us. Firstly, he said, "O Lord, you have searched me." The Hebrew term here originally means to explore, the idea of digging into something. But it's the word that is used in Judges, is used in Job. "God, you have searched me. You have dug deep into my life." Have you ever lost anything? Have you ever lost your glasses? The worst thing is I always misplace my glasses. Have you misplaced your plane tickets when you are traveling? That's the word David uses here. "Lord, you have searched me. You have dug deep into my life." See, God knows us. God knows me. You know me. You know my down sitting and my uprising. God knows something about us. He knows me in the sense that my best friend knows me. Whether I'm taking it easy or whether I'm on the move, it doesn't matter. God knows me. And then he understands my thoughts. God knows my thoughts. In verse 2 he says, "You understand my thoughts afar off." The idea is that God can get inside my head. He sees what's going on. Of course, doctors now have this MRI. They can do technology. They can see everything. They can put a tube down your throat and look down on the inside. That's amazing, isn't it? But God sees everything. Not just the physical, but my thoughts as well. God knows everything you ever thought about. Think about that for a moment. He comprehends my comings and goings. Thou confesses my path and my lying down. God examines us thoroughly. And I mean thoroughly. He's familiar with my ways and art acquainted with all my ways, it says in verse 3. I can't get away with anything, it says, but God knows my habits, my strengths, my weaknesses. He knows all about my business. And 6, it says, He knows my words before they are even on my tongue. For there is not a word on my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Even before I speak a word, God knows what I'm going to say. Have you ever been so close that you know that someone is going to say something? God, David says, before it reaches my tongue, He knows. God knows about us. Did not Jesus say in Matthew 10:30, "Your very hairs of your head are all numbered"? That's amazing, isn't it? It's more amazing than other things. The idea is not that God concerns himself with mental trivia. It seems only that he is all-knowing. That he's aware of everything about you, everything you do, everything you think. He knows what goes on in private as well as public. God knows more about you than you want him to know. And in verse 6 is such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. To realize that God knows us. He scrutinizes us. He studies us 24 hours a day. The next thought is, do not hide from God. Do not hide from Him. He If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as all the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Do not hide from God. Verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with thee. You try to get away from God, you try to shield yourselves from Him. Is there any way to hide? Can we, like children, pull our blankets over our heads and say we are safe? David says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Let's try the east and the west. If I take the wings of the morning towards the east, we head that way, it doesn't help. Let's go to the sea where there's a sea. If you're in Palestine, the sea is to the west. But God says, thou dwellest in the uttermost parts of the sea. So trying all that in all directions doesn't help. Even thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. So let's not wait out the daytime. Even the darkness protects us, because God is all-seeing. Verse 11 says, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the light shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Even you build a steel-plated wall, God sees through it. For verse 13 are significant for several reasons. Verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Here David is saying, thou hast possessed me, my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Even before my mother gave birth to me, you were present. Your spirit was there. Even was not just something out of evolution. You were right there in the womb. I couldn't get away from it. How precious are thy thoughts of God. How great is the sum of them. And in verse 18, how marvelous are the words. In verse 18 it says, if I count them, they are more in number than the sand. Whether I am awake, I am still with thee. David says to God, you search me, you discern me, you are familiar with me, you know my private thoughts, I cannot escape. Do you understand how revealing that is, that God knows everything about us? Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. Indeed, Paul echoes this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, he says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. See, God knows all the trash in my life and a whole bunch more. For someone who is not living in the right relation with God, that should be a very sobering thought. because when you stand before God in the day of judgment, there are going to be no secrets. There's going to be no hope that God didn't pay much attention to what your life is all about. He knows. Indeed, He knows. And there's a thought of approval. He knows my thoughts, and He knows my heart. In fact, it's rather comforting, I would say. I think that the comfort of all comes out from the end of the psalm. In verse 23-24, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And if see if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting." Search me even more, David is saying. God knows not only your outer shell, He knows what is within you. So why should David invite God to continue searching? It's like looking into your income tax. If you miss your income tax, they may pull out your tax for the last 7 years and search it thoroughly. You would never invite anybody to do that if you don't know what you're going to come to. But David said, "Search me and know my heart." There is one relationship in our life that has helped us to understand why David won God's continuing search. And there is one person who knows more about our shortcomings, our sins, than anyone else. And yet it is the same time, it's the one relationship where we are loved the most. For God is a loving God. "Search me and know my heart" could only be spoken by someone who feels completely loved and accepted. When you feel God has accepted you, you say, "God, search me and know my heart." These words can come only if be spoken to someone who unconditionally loves the person he is watching. He sees every inch of our life, and He still loves us. He knows our successes, our failures, our strengths, our weaknesses. He understands how holy and even how unholy we are. And even though He expects us to bring our life closer and closer to what He likes for us to be, He never withholds His love for each one of us. So God is an all-seeing eye. Psalm 139 describes not the eye of a critic that is searching for opportunity to pull us down. It is the eye of a loving parent, a holy father, a heavenly father, a true God. You see, the church at Thyatira, remember, they did everything. They were so good. They knew everything. They did everything right. In Revelation 2, you see, they thought they were going to do everything that was acceptable to God. Let me read 2:18. "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, these things saith the Son of God, who has His eye like unto a flame of fire, and His feet are like the fine brass." And God says, "I know thy works, thy charity, thy service, thy faith, and thy patience, and thy works. But I have a few things against you. Christ Christ introduced himself as the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame, and he searches the reins and hearts. He has an intimate knowledge of our secrets, thoughts, and motives. You know, when he was on earth, when Christ was to our humanity and was on earth, he read people's thoughts. He understood their hearts. You see, both his enemies and disciples were amazed at his insight into their hidden thoughts and secrets. Chapter 2, verse 8 says, he perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves. His closest followers reached a conclusion that nothing could be concealed from him. And Peter said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And in John 2:25, John knew all men and needed, Jesus knew all men and needed not any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. The earthly Jesus knew the hearts and minds of people, and even much more. The risen Christ knows all our secrets. Nothing is ever hidden, for God sees us and will judge us. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the God, and their works are in dark, and they say, who seeth us? Who knoweth us? Isaiah 29:15. For nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare. And in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to the gospel, according to God's gospel. Romans 2:16. The people of God need to learn and live in the presence of Christ, whose eyes are like unto a flame of fire, who searches our hearts and minds. He sees our rising and our fall. He does not escape from his presence. His all-seeing eye is always upon us. And this is what the Bible says, living in fear of God. Sometimes we feel the penetrating gaze of God because of things we have done that are wrong, and we do want God to deal with those. But God's searching eyes, and we welcome any insight he might give us, regardless of the difficulty involved in facing this. For we know that God looks down on us in love. And one of the things I can be sure is that I'm absolutely positively loved by God. He tells us, I see you, I know you, and I still love you. Obvious that God knows us. He knows us so thoroughly. The important question is, do you know God? And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Let us read 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. verses 3 and 5. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 5. And let us have these comforting words
as we dwell upon the thoughts, search me, O God, and know my heart. Beginning from 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. Let's read together. And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his words in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Let's read the next verse. He that says he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Amen.